The Anton Savage Show
with Kearies.ie
on News Talk.
Robert Whelan is with us to give financial management advice. Are you a big deposit scheme user, Robert?
I would like to be.
Good, that's it. It's the road to hell and all of that and what it's paid for. Now, buckets of questions coming in. Let us start with the one that says, I have a 2-year-old and another on the way. I want to start saving now for them for school or for college or for anything else. Any advice on where I should start?
Yeah, the first thing to start with is the children's allowance. And I know it's easy enough for people to hear that, but ultimately it is there to give you the capacity to be able to look after your kids. So it is money coming from the state to support parents in the home. The reason we use it is because it's regular. It comes in every month. So basically, if you kind of get yourself disciplined that you say, well, I'm going to take that money, I'm going to set it aside for the future. And it couldn't be all of it. It's like if you're getting 140 quid a month and you take half of it, it's something. Because ultimately, if you don't, you will find yourself in a situation where your kids reach a certain age and at a time in your life when you should be feeling a little bit more comfortable financially. And there's a lot of people listening to this going, yeah, tell me about it. They're going to hit the college and they're going to hit you with a bill and it's going, ma, da, can you help me out? And yeah.
So now, what do you do about ownership and access to the account? Because my concern would be if I had a savings account for small children that they didn't know about. 10 years goes by, 15 years go by. Now it's a big chunk of money and you're thinking, well, they don't know it's there. So I have access to it.
So we're back to the road to hell again to pay the good intentions, exactly. Yeah.
They don't know where the new car came from.
So if you don't trust yourself, Anton, not that anyone listened to this, you're a fabulous parent, but no, genuinely, you can set up what's known as a bear trust, okay? And I don't want to get too much into it, but a couple of the insurance companies, the big brands insurance companies that you should be familiar with, right? They have facility whereby you can effectively almost lock it into a box that you yourself can't access. You're actually putting it in the kids' names. Absolutely, yeah. So.
And is there anything like there is for pensions where you can put it in a tax-free roll-up umbrella? Is there any kind of clever schemes to facilitate that kind of thing?
Listen, if we are, my kingdom for the SSIA, but no. It's about getting investment return. So the piece of advice to this particular individual is, if you're saving for an outcome that's 15, 16 years away, inflation is real. It's on the table. The cost of living is going to continue to increase. So if you're saving for an outcome that's that length of time away, don't be afraid to take a level of investment risk with your savings, because you simply are leaving a lot of money on the table by keeping it in the bank or the post office, or the case may be.
But it's hard to get to the kind of product that exposes you to investment risk unless you have a large pile of cash to play with, is it not?
No, not at all. Most insurance companies, the big brands, with 100 quid a month. Yeah, honestly.
That gets you into a fund-based scheme or something along those lines.
One of the best funds in the country is returning an average return of about 17% a year going back 10 years. And anybody can get it for 100 quid a month.
Although there is a big chunk, I assume, of survivor bias in that if we'd known that 10 years ago, we'd all be geniuses.
Yeah.
A text asking, could you please ask your financial advisor about transferring a private UK pension back to Ireland?
Yeah, so there is a facility there. Obviously, it's under what's known as the QROP scheme. I won't get into that, but it is possible. But it is increasingly difficult, and there is a window, and this is probably why they're asking about it. There is a window that is closing, and it's basically when we joined the EU, we had free movement of people and free movement of capital, which meant that we could move our pensions around. So if I had a pension in France, I wasn't prohibited from moving it from France to Ireland, right? With Brexit, one of the many million complications as a result of Brexit is that a lot of Irish people in particular would have worked in the UK. Okay. And so they have retained pensions in the UK. So there is a scheme there called the QROP scheme. You can move it, but by all means, please, for the love of God, get financial advice before doing it, because it may not necessarily be in your interest. One of the big concerns people do have is currency risk. If my retirement assets are in sterling and I'm living in Ireland in euro, there is a degree of currency risk there insofar as my pension being reliant upon a different currency. There are access, there is investment return, there's charges and all that stuff. So get good advice. It can be done. But there is a window and it's closing.
But it can be done to port the entire thing
absolutely,
back to Ireland.
Yeah. And the same, and this is very important actually, anybody who worked in the UK and you paid national insurance contributions, you have the capacity, you will be entitled to a state pension from the UK. People forget this, the amount of money we leave on the table. If you don't have sufficient contributions, the UK allow you to make effectively an additional voluntary contribution to buy the extra credits. And people always think, well, will that reduce my Irish state pension? No, you can get a full Irish state pension plus a UK pension. And that window is also closing very soon. So it's very important to people get on. And to be fair, the UK authorities are really good on this stuff in terms of getting back to you quickly.
Text asking, what is Bitcoin and is it worth investing in? I wish you luck with this one.
Are we going to do a full hour podcast on this one?
Start with what is blockchain and work from there.
What is blockchain? What is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is a digital asset that millions of people around the world have inferred a value on. Okay, so the way I equate Bitcoin is, can you make money by investing in it? Yes. Can you lose a lot of money by investing in it? Yes. Does it have any use that I can see beyond giving someone capital gain or capital loss? No. It is not a store of value. They have improved it. And the big thing,
it's tulip bulbs in Holland in the late 1700s.
It is, absolutely. It's the greater fool theory. But if you really want to know why I'm so adamant on this, I saw Wall Street go 2 feet into Bitcoin last year by pushing the US regulators to allow them to create a Bitcoin ETF. That was the number one signal you were being involved in a grift. So what you have is effectively the people who own the Bitcoin are all these senior Wall Streeters. So they needed to create what's known as a liquidity event. So if I have this illiquid asset, I need to be able to get the market for it out so I can start liquidating my investment. So let's come up with an ETF. Let's make it a little bit mainstream. And the irony of all ironies is that Bitcoin came out of the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is entirely about the delegitimization of central banks and the big banks and all of this. And 15 years later, all the Bitcoin advocates are celebrating.
But it has to be said, a lot of people made money on Dutch tulips. A lot of people made money on Bitcoin.
No question about it.
A text saying, in block caps, I think somebody is irked. Can you ask where to get advice about transferring a UK state pension scheme, please?
Okay. If I www.rockwellfinancial.ie. But anyway, plug. But honestly, any good financial advisor.
Any good financial advisor. Is the way that it's done for something like that, if you are hiring a financial advisor, is it an hourly rate or do they pay based on, do they quote based on a percentage of the underlying asset?
It depends, to be very frank, right? Each person has their own business model, but I've yet to meet a financial advisor who won't give an initial consultation complimentary. And then at the end of that meeting, you just say, right, here we are. How much are you going to charge me to do the next body of work?
Text saying, would your guest advise putting a moderate lump sum into the 10-year state savings scheme?
Well, I wouldn't advise against it, but I'd ask what's the purpose of the investment. Okay, so if it's a 10-year time horizon and you're taking money which you are decided you don't need, the current rates of return, even though they're tax-free and I know they're guaranteed, are still coming in about 50% of the current inflation rate. So you have to say, well, what's the purpose of what I'm trying to achieve here? If I'm funding for an outcome in 10 years' time, well, if I don't take the relevant level of investment risk with that, I may be leaving myself short of my target goal. If my goal is I have a huge fear of risk and I don't want to take any risk on board, but I just want to get it out of the banks and get it earning something, do it all the live long day. It's about really finding your own risk profile, but deciding what the goal is and then saying, well, if I needed to have that amount of money, is that the best place for it? But again, get advice.
Text saying, we got a redundancy payment of €70,000. Want to put it somewhere where we can gain interest without. Does every single person who walks into your office say, look, I want two simple things. I want a lot of money and I want no risk.
Yeah. I want a job that pays me $100,000 a year and I work 5 hours a week, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't exist. It really doesn't. Okay, so the only risk-free return you're getting in the country is deposits. But to be fair, and we've had a new bank, they've been operating in Ireland for 5 years through Avant, but bank into the Spanish bank coming in is good news for Irish depositors. I wrote an article last year for the Irish Times.
Yeah, but you know by the way this text is written, this is not somebody who's looking for 2% to try to stop the erosion of inflation. This is somebody who thinks, I've 70K now, I want to bang it somewhere. In 5 or 10 years, I want it to be 200K and I want to be able to pay off the mortgage.
Yeah.
What about, so how do you sort them out with that?
You have an honest conversation with them about expectations and show them some performance charts and say, yeah, you can time it right. And if I could time everything right, again, wouldn't I be a genius? But no, it doesn't work that way.
Tech saying, I'm in my 50s. I've never been good with saving. I don't have a pension, but I've recently been left some money. Should I invest in a pension plan or shares or what would you advise?
Okay, without getting into particulars, pensions are brilliant, but the main reason why they're brilliant is because you get tax relief on your contributions. So if you have received an inheritance, you've paid some level of tax on that. The last thing you would do ordinarily with that is put it into a structure whereby when you draw it down, you're going to be paying tax on it again. So I would say get advice on it, right? But from my, I wouldn't be looking at pensions. If they have...
And you can't bypass inheritance tax by going into a pension.
Oh God, no. no, no. I would say, again, get the right advice on it. Because, for instance, there may be a high salaried person and they could say, well, ordinarily I couldn't afford to make contributions, but because I have this lump sum, I can. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, and that's absolutely fine. But blindly just saying dump it into a pension, no. And again, putting it into shares, we're all about getting your own risk profile there.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.